So we're in the middle of a series that we've entitled, that pastor's entitled, Renovation, right? Renovation. And we've asked you this question every single week. Every single week, we've been confronted with this question. And that question is this: are you willing? And we're like, hesitation. Are you willing to renovate? Are you willing to renovate? And I am, for the first time in the last 4 years of my life, a homeowner. With signing those documents on the day that I actually did that, I about fainted. I'm like, what am I doing? This seems like a very dumb idea. You know, and so, but now that I'm a homeowner, I walk around my house and I think renovation. I think remodel. I think, man, I could take this wall and I can move that wall. My wife wants to literally move half of the house this way and half of the house way. I'm like, honey, you're crazy. That's going to cost us a fortune. You know, we could do this, we could do that, we could paint this, and the kitchen needs to look this way, and the kitchen. I never did that when I was renting. But now that I'm owning, I'm like, which then oftentimes I'm walking to my house and I'm just thinking, cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. I'm like, forget the renovation, right? But we've asked you to consider this question. Are you willing to go through renovation? Not physically, spiritually. Are you willing to allow God to move into your life and dust off some things? Are you willing to allow God to move into your life and maybe move a wall? Maybe change a few light bulbs because some of them are burnt out. Are you willing to allow God to use you in ways that maybe he hasn't used you in a long time? Are you willing to say yes to some things that maybe you haven't said yes to in a long time? Are you willing, right, to be open to God moving in and saying, hey, I like to adjust some things. I like to tweak some things. Some of us, right, we're coming to church, and we're thinking to ourselves, man, I want some things to change. Maybe it's the Spirit of God saying to us, I'd like to renovate. I'd like to do some new things, some different things, some incredible things, right? We all love renovation. And so the first week, Pastor had a bunch of tools up here, tons of tools, right? Brent's tools. He was out of work for about 2 weeks. And so all tools all over the place, right? And there was a lot of hand tools, right? My son wanted to start chopping wood. I bought him a handsaw. He's like, Dad, there's got to be a better way. Yeah, absolutely, right? You wouldn't go to your garage when you're about to rebuild a house and get all your hand tools out and just use those to build a house. I mean, it's done before. Obviously, we know that, but it'd be a lot of work. There's a better way to do it. You go to Home Depot and you buy a power tool, something you get to plug into, and it makes it a lot easier. You don't sweat as much. You don't work as hard. It seems like, wow, this is great. Right? And Pastor said to us, if we're going to remodel, if we're going to renovate, right? We need to consider God's tools. We need to consider God's power. We need to do it with his tools, with his power. We need to plug into him. It's going to make the process so much easier, right? And then last week, and if you've not listened, if you've missed one or two of these messages, I would encourage you to get online, right? And listen to them. They're great. They're awesome. Life-changing, right? And so last week, Pastor talked about the plan, that every remodel, every renovate has a plan. And the plan is important, right? You don't want to do a remodel. You don't want to do a renovate without a plan, without some blueprints, without an architect, without an expert looking at what you're doing, right? And men, you've been there. We get the box. We open the box. We throw out the instructions. And then we get frustrated. And then our wives so graciously walk into the room and say, hey, would you like me to read these for you? Right? The plan, so important. And when we follow the plan, we're less frustrated. Whether it be a bathroom remodel or a kitchen remodel or a home remodel, whatever it is, when we take the time and we look at the plans, life is so much easier. The same thing is true when God comes in and he renovates. He has a plan. It's called the Word of God. And when we spend time in it, we're less frustrated. When we open it up often, and if you don't, I would encourage you to find a place every single day. Yeah, every single day. Right? We've got this thing amongst my small group of men on Sunday nights where we try to see who can go the farthest streaks with the YouVersion app. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, that does mean you're just opening it up and reading one word. Are you all actually reading the Word of God? Or is it just like, hey, I've got 15 streaks. Woo! You know? But we need to take the time and read God's plan so that we can see transformation happen in our life. It's so important. And guess what? You are like showed up the best day. Because you know what today is? It's demo day. Everybody loves demo day, right? I mean, demo day is like the best day ever. I mean, whenever I think of demo day, right, I automatically jump back to Tim the Toolman Taylor. Right, men? Demo day. I love demo day. I mean, you just get to move in and start destroying things and just ripping things out and all this kind of stuff. My wife and I have recently decided to remodel at our house. Come on, somebody. I'm still in the middle of it, folks. My wife and I, we decided to remodel in our house, and we decided to, our basement bathroom, right, that the dudes use, me and Nathaniel use, needs a little upgrade, right? Especially when grandma comes over to visit. Nobody wants to put grandma in a concrete shower, right? And so my wife and I made this decision. We were committed to this decision. We were excited about this decision. So we started doing what everybody does. Fixer Upper, season one. Here we go. And we paid attention to every bathroom that was being remodeled. We're like, we want this tile, we want that tile, and I'd like to have this, and I want this, and I'd love to have this, right? And we're doing all these things. We're in Google, and we're in Pinterest, and we're saving this, and we're taking months and months and months, right? Trying to figure out what we want, watching Fixer Upper, watching bathroom this and bathroom that, and all this kind of stuff. And we're going to Menards, folks. If you've never been to Menards, you need to treat yourself. If you've not been to the Menards on Hanley Road, I'm telling you, you're missing out. And let me just say this, like, oh, there's an Andy's ice cream right outside the store. So you get yourself some Andy's, you go into Menards, it's a date night for us. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. So we've spent hours in Menards, second floor, first floor, second floor. It's got two floors, did I mention that? Two floors, man. Two floors. Second floor, first floor. Second floor, first floor, right? And we're making lists and we're shopping and we're getting this and we're getting all that. And man, we're excited. And so the day comes. I'm watching Chip Gaines. Is that a Joanne Chip Gaines? Right? Yeah. I'm watching Chip. Sorry. And I feel the spirit of Chip come all over me. And I went upstairs in my garage and I grabbed my sledgehammer and I went to town on that bathroom, which it was a weird bathroom because even the interior walls were concrete, these little blocks everywhere. Did everything survive? It did. There's concrete blocks everywhere, right? And so I'm just going at it. I'm swinging and I'm going. I mean, everything's coming down. I'm having so much fun, right? And all of a sudden, like, I'm like, man, I've worked up a sweat. I'm getting tired. I'm exhausted. I'm worn out. And so I find myself sitting amongst the rubble. That was a lot of work. There had to be a better way to do this. This is going to be a lot of work. I got to take all of this upstairs and out the house. Like, this is, I'm not sure this is a good idea. Right, I'm sitting amongst this rubble. I'm sitting amongst all of this broken stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, I mean, this is what honestly really happened. Doubt, lots of it. But I got this great plan, and I've purchased these really awesome tools. And I'm like, I think this is where the work begins. I think this is where the work begins. And it didn't help, right, that my wife, as she hears things gone silent, she comes down the stairs, makes the curve, and looks at me and the toilet, because the only thing that was standing was me and the toilet at that time. She looks at me, and she looks at all the debris. She's like, yeah, you think maybe we should have asked someone to come help us? You're doubting me. I can't do this, right? And this doubt begins to settle in. You know, this is what I've learned about broken things. When sometimes we sit on this side of the hammer, because it's great, right? Isn't it great to be on this side of the hammer, just pounding away, breaking things? It's awesome. But when we're on this side of the hammer, sitting amongst the rubble, sitting amongst things that are broken, and we're not even sure where to start, and we had a great plan, but that plan seems to be really foggy, there's this thing that begins to overwhelm us. Fear, doubt. Right, because this is what I know is true about me, and this is what I know is true about you. You've experienced brokenness. And it might be your demo bathroom, but there's a good chance it's something much more personal than a bathroom. I mean, we've all seen brokenness, whether it be in a coworker and what's going on in their home, whether it be a family member and what's happening in their marriage, whether it be a business opportunity and what's taking place there. And we find ourselves amongst the rubble. We find ourselves amongst the debris. We find ourselves amongst the dust. And we begin to ask this question: God, why? Why? Why does it seem that oftentimes I find myself amongst the rubble, amongst the dust, amongst the debris? What are you doing? What's happening? What's taking place? I'm confused. I'm almost interested in moving houses, God. I'm almost interested in leaving all of this behind, buying something new, and moving on. Can I still trust your plan? Are you still good? Are you still doing good things? Because right now, from my viewpoint, all I can see is dust and debris and broken things. And I'm doubting. I'm doubting. And you here, listen, you that have been through brokenness, you that have actually come out on the other side of brokenness, you get that out of this rubble, when it's removed and the plan is stuck to, there's this beautiful renovation. Those girls might not want to use my bathroom now in my house, but I promise, give it 30 days and they're going to be like, hey, can we use your bathroom? No. You doubted me. No bathroom for you. Go back upstairs to the old bathroom. Right? Go backstairs to the old bathroom. But for those of us that have walked through renovation, for those of us that have actually gotten all the way through it, we know that there's purpose for this rubble. We know that there's purpose for this brokenness. We know that God has a reason and he's going to see it through as long as we keep what our eyes on his plan, as long as we choose to continue to use his tools and plug into his power. Incredible things will take place. Incredible things will take place. If you turn with me to John chapter 2, verse 13 is where we're going to be at. And most of you are familiar with the show Fixer Upper. And in Fixer Upper, when Chip and Joanne stand with that poster, and it's a picture of the old house, we know what's behind that new that poster, a new house. And for those of us that have walked through rubble, for those of us that have gotten to the other side of demolition, when Chip and Joanne pull that poster aside, there's this emotion that comes over us, right? Come on, guys. I mean, I know we don't show our wives that, but there's this excitement. I can't wait to see inside that house. I can't wait to see what they've done. I can't wait to see the detailed work. I can't wait to see what the expert has actually done when he went into that house and the homeowners allowed him to go into that house and do all of this remodel. I can't wait. There's this emotion of joy that comes over us. It's the same thing, right? And I heard it's coming back, the Extreme Home Makeover. When Ty stands in front of that bus and he says, "Move that bus!" And husbands, you look at your wife and you say, "You cry every single time." Like, you know what's going to happen, right? But there's this joy that comes over. God's desire is to make something beautiful out of the debris. If we're willing, right? If we're willing. Because sometimes the person on the other side of this hammer isn't just an enemy. It's our creator. Sometimes God moves into our house with tools. Because he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. You've gotten so far from the original plan. And he starts, oh gosh, sorry. That's why I put this up here. He starts swinging. There's this incredible story in John chapter 2, verse 13. Incredible story. All of history's never seen a renovation like this. All of history's never seen a demo. Never, ever seen a demo. It is a demo that's changed literally everything. I mean, it has changed the way that you and I approach God. It has changed the way those before us approach God. And it has changed the way those after us approach God. It has changed everything. Jesus takes an old covenant and he makes it new. And we're so glad that he has. He's taken an old covenant and he makes it new. So John chapter 13, let's go there. John chapter 2, verse 13, sorry. Let's move there. So Jesus, right, is on his way to Jerusalem. There's this thing called the Passover celebration. We're all familiar with it. If you're not, go home, rent the movie Moses, right? Then you'll get it, right? God is the celebration of God removing its people, the Israelites, out of Egypt to their promised land. That's what they're going to celebrate. They do it every single year around this season, even currently that we're in right now. Every man, every male within 15 miles of Jerusalem is required to go to this celebration. But obviously, thousands of people are showing up in Jerusalem. And so the first thing they do, right, is to go to the temple because they've got to take sacrifice there. There's some weird things going on, obviously, we'll talk about. And they've got to pay a tax, right? And so Jesus walks in. He walks into the temple and he's frustrated. And he begins having conversations with two groups of people. And we're one of those groups. And we're going to see that this morning. But he says this. After he's already started swinging his demolition tool, he says this, destroy this temple. Whoa, 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 whoa. His house? Like, this is God's house. This is where God dwells. I mean, this place is beautiful, gorgeous, amazing. All of these people are coming, and you're saying, destroy this temple? When Jesus gets into the temple, it's a mess. The place has become a flea market with vendors set up literally everywhere. This system has become corrupt. The people have to buy their own animals, right? Because they're taking their animals in. They're selling them for little dollars. They're going back to the vendors. The vendors are like, yeah, here's another goat for you. Wait a second, that was my goat. I sold you for $5. Now you're going to sell to me for $55? Right? And Jesus sees all of this happening and it's a mess. The whole situation overshadowed the original point of the temple to be a place of worship to God, to be a place of prayer to God. So Jesus, right, fashions up his own demo tool, this whip, and he starts to drive the animals out. We're talking about God's people, disciples, people are trying to be like God. He overturns these tables. He dumps the money and he says, listen, stop it. This is not allowed in my house. Get out. I mean, it's a demo day like no other demo day. I mean, it is a demo day like no other demo day. Sometimes you have to tear something down in order to build it back up. Listen, sometimes you've got to tear something down in order to build it back up. Sometimes you have to build a little, you have to do a little destruction. You got to do this. You got to destroy some things before you can construct some things. Before my wife and I once we had that plan, we had to go into that basement and we had to take out the old. We had to tear away the old so that then the new could come in. And the same thing is true with our life spiritually. Sometimes Jesus wants to tear out the old because we focus on a different plan, a plan that's not his plan. And oftentimes when we focus on a plan that's not his plan, not the original plan, we end up feeling this brokenness. We end up feeling this brokenness and we would think to ourselves, what's going on? And God's like, listen, trust me. Trust me. Verse 14, let's start there. In the temple area, he saw, and I'm just going to read this, I explain a little bit, merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifices. He also saw dealers at the temple's exchanging foreign money. Verse 15, Jesus makes a whip from some robes and chased everyone out of the temple. He drove out the sheep, the cattle, money changers, coins of literally everywhere, flipping tables. Verse 16, then going over to the people who are selling doves, he told them, get these things out of here. Stop. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace. Listen, the temple, it's God's house. It's his dwelling place. This building in Jerusalem, this temple, it's God's house. It's his dwelling place. In the Old Testament, when the temple is being referred to, they're talking about a building. They're talking about this physical location. They're talking about this place in the New Testament, the New Covenant. Oftentimes, a lot of times, most of the time, unless Jesus is referring to himself, when he talks about the temple, he's referring to you, Christians. He's referring to the body of Christ. He's talking about you. In the New Testament, oftentimes when the temple is being referred to, they're talking about us as Christians. Oftentimes in Scripture, God uses this imagery of a house when talking about us people. You're a house. I'm a house. Husbands, don't ever call your wife a house. When God, listen, God, we are God's home. We are God's house. He dwells inside of us. His Spirit dwells inside of us. Paul says it this way, for we are co-workers in God's service. You're God's field, God's building. Don't you know that you're God's temple and that God's Spirit lives inside of you? Peter says it this way, you also, like living stones, are being built into spiritual houses for God. John paints this very clear picture of Jesus cleaning house. In the Old Testament, that building in Jerusalem, in the New Testament, that's you and I. Jesus is not happy with the status of what's happening. They've veered from the plan, and he sees it. He sees everything. He's able to uncover everything. He's able to walk into our house, and that room that we think is so hidden, not hidden to him at all. Listen, Jesus wants to come in. If we're going to submit to and surrender and be willing to be renovated, we've got to allow Jesus to come in and be Lord of every area of our life, like we sang this morning. Lord of every area of our lives. When he turns his house into something that it's not, when we turn his house into something that it's not, Jesus begins to renovate. He begins to move some walls. He begins to adjust the structure. He sometimes has to do a little demo work, right? When Jesus starts remodeling our house, what's our response? How do we respond when Jesus comes in? If we're like, man, I'm willing. I want to. Yeah, I want to go buy another power tool. That'd be awesome. Yeah, man, I love searching and creating and making the new plan. But when Jesus comes in and starts renovating, how do we respond to that? How do we respond to that? Verse 17, and we're going to see these two groups of people and how they respond. And I'd like you to consider, how are you responding to the remodel that Jesus is attempting to do in your life? Verse 17 reads this way, then the disciples remembered the prophecy from the scriptures. So good. The disciples remembered the prophecy from the scriptures. Passion for God's house will consume me. You can go back to Psalm 69:6 and read those exact same words. Oftentimes we'd see the Old Testament, right, prophesying about Jesus coming. And we see that played out in Jesus' life. And the disciples are watching Jesus at work and they think to themselves, like light bulb hits. Oh my goodness, this is the Messiah. This is who we've been learning all about. All of the prophecies, all of the things, all that we've studied in the Old Testament. Oh my goodness, or holy smokes. The disciples are remembering Old Testament scriptures that are revealing the truth about what is really going on. When we're in the middle of demo, we need the truth. When we've surrendered our lives to Jesus and said we're willing, and he begins to come in and start swinging and adjusting and moving and changing things, we need something to keep us true north. And that's the word of God. When God is doing something in your life and you're asking the question why, I hope your response is built on the word of God. Because if it's not, I promise you, we'll see less of you and then wonder where you went. Because you responded in a way to demo day that God never desired for you to respond. Verse 18, the Jewish leaders demanded, what are you doing? If God gave you authority to do this, show us. Show us. Show us a miraculous sign. Prove it to me. I mean, these Jewish leaders are demanding Jesus to show them. Prove it to me. Who are you? It's almost like, man, who died and made you boss? Who died and made you God? You can't just step up into my house and do what you want. I mean, it ain't working this way, right? And Jesus' response is this, and which throws them off. The disciples, right, are trending with him. They're beginning to understand what he's saying. Things are coming alive to them in their minds and their hearts. But these Jewish leaders, not so much. Listen, Jesus says, all right, Jesus replied, destroy this temple. Like it ain't no big deal. It'd be like, you know, the shed in your backyard that's falling apart. Your wife wants you to tear it down. You just won't tear it down. That's not my house. But, you know, all that kind of stuff. She's like, and you're like, man, I'm going to go tear that shed up. No big deal. But we're talking about this temple, this building Right? And listen how they respond. They explain, it has taken 46 years to build this temple. And you can rebuild it in 3 days? They don't get it. But when Jesus said this, the temple, he meant his own body. Listen, Jesus has come into their midst. He has fulfilled the words of David. He has fulfilled Old Testament scriptures, Old Testament prophecies about being the Messiah. Yet they're not concerned with other. They're not concerned with that. They're concerned with their own interest. They're concerned with their own investment. They're concerned with their own pocketbook. They're concerned with their own plan. They're concerned with what they're doing. Because see here, this temple is a big deal. The first guy that actually put the temple in a physical place, Solomon, right? He and they describe it as this incredible, gorgeous, amazing structure that people went to worship God in. And then someone came and knocked it down. And another guy came in and he built it up a little bit more. And then this last guy that we're talking in Jesus' time, when he's building this temple, it's this amazing, gorgeous, beautiful thing. And he's renovating. And literally, as Jesus is saying these things like, destroy this temple, there's guys on scaffolding restructuring the temple. There's guys on scaffolding building this thing up. And Jesus is like, no big deal, tear it down. I'll build it up in 3 days. Because Jesus is doing a new thing. He's fulfilling Old Testament with New Testament stuff, right? How often, right, do we look when we've invested in something financially a lot, when we've invested our energy and our time and all of our plans in something, and then someone moves in, someone new, someone maybe we're aware of moves in and begins to change things. How do you respond to that usually? What are you doing? I've spent a lot of money here. I've built up a lot of things. You can't just come in and do whatever you want. Who are you? Right? I don't know about you, but I've responded that way. I've been like, what's going on here? Someone show me this guy's credentials. I want to know why I can kick him out. I want to know why I can move him on. I want to know, these Jews guys, I want to know why I can send him to jail. I mean, he's destroyed everything. Verse 22, after he was raised from the dead, the disciples remembered. I love what's happening here and the picture that's taking place with these disciples. Remembered. You can't remember God's plan if you're not hiding God's plan in your heart. And when life is difficult, you're going to run from that plan because it's not here. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered. He had said this, and they believed. They didn't doubt. I'm sitting on the toilet of my bathroom basement amongst rubble, looking at the laundry room, thinking to myself, I hope those weren't clean clothes, because if they were, I'm going to have to wash them again because of all the debris. And I'm doubting. The disciples are in the temple. They're watching Jesus destroy everything. And there's this building of belief, because they know who he is. They get it. They see it. They understand it. The resurrection of Jesus is assurance so that God loves us and that God is going to make beautiful things out of broken things. Those that trust in Jesus Christ need to keep trusting even during the difficult days. When we're wondering where Jesus is, and he's like, hey, I'm actually in the living room moving a wall. Yeah, I'm the purpose for your pain. Right? Verse 19, one more time. All right, Jesus replied, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. There's this craze that's going on right now in America. Everybody's in it. Everybody's loving it. Everybody's interested in it. And that craze is this. DIY, right? Do it yourself. Home Depot is making a living on it. We got it all figured out for you. Watch these few videos. Order everything online. We'll even send it to your house. You'll be good to go. After YouTube, you're an expert. That's how I'm feeling right now about my bathroom. You want me to go take care of yours too? Probably not, right? This is so important. We're all willing for a renovation. But we've got to understand, it's not our work. It's Jesus' work. And like he was said so well to us last weekend, our job is to surrender. Not my plan, but your plan. It's getting up every single day saying, not my will, but your will be done. Teach me how to do that, Jesus. Show me what that looks like. Jesus has made a way. Jesus has made a way. Stop trying to make your own. Jesus has made a way. Stop trying to make your own. So when you find yourselves in the middle of the demo, when you find yourself in the middle of demo day and you're doubting whether God is even around, do what the disciples did. Remember the resurrection. Remember that your king is alive. Remember that your king is alive. That he defeated death. Moving a wall in your house ain't going to be no big deal. Stop fighting him. Listen, he's alive. Recognize Jesus' work throughout the scripture. Be in the Word of God. It changes everything. Consistently find yourself in the Word of God. Because when brokenness comes, when Jesus walks into his house, your life, when he walks into his house, your life, and he begins to remove things, if you've not hidden the Word of God in your heart, you're going to find a different house. Because you're going to be like those Jewish leaders. Who do you think you are? Realize his power to transform. Realize his power to transform. John chapter 1, 12 through 13 reads this way, and it sums it up all so well. It says this, but to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. There's nothing you can do to become God's child. He does all the work. They are reborn. I love this. They are renovated. They are remodeled. Not with physical birth resulting from human passion, human plans, but a birth that comes from God. A birth that comes from God. What do you do when you realize you're on the other side of the hammer? You remember. You recognize and you realize. And you say, praise ye the Lord. Praise God, he is in control. Praise God, he knows what he's doing. Praise God, he's got it all figured out. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Your will done, not my will done. Your plan done, not my plan done. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning? Hey, listen, I know this about you because it's true about me. There's probably some of you right now that you're standing amongst the rubble. Ooh. You're standing amongst the rubble and your response is this, praise ye the Lord. Sing a hallelujah because we understand this. If we choose to, God is in control. And man, power tools, awesome. Plan, awesome. Demo day, not so much fun. But he's going to make beauty out of ashes. Let God strengthen you today as you sing a loud song to him. Let's worship the Lord together.
Raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a high. comes to fight for me. Raise that up again. Come on. I raise a high.